I used to be out for myself and alone. But that's not who I am anymore.
You're on a different path now.
And I have you guys.
We're family.
Fanboys and Friends presents...
Lord Vader. Dispatch Inquisitors to hunt the rebels.
The Empire's looking everywhere for us.
We can't just run.
We're being pulled out of hyperspace.
It's a Star Destroyer!
No. That is something else.
Lock down the spaceport.
We can't beat that blockade. Not without a better ship.
The Red Blades. They took her. They knew.
The Inquisitors are after these kids because they're like you, Ezra.
This is one of my most advanced designs. And it packs a punch.
If only we had more allies. I know someone.
My name is Rex. Captain, 501st Clone Battalion. Meet Commanders Gregor and Wolf.
Red 5. Ghost Transmissions.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
My parents! They're out there, and I've got to find them!
We're soldiers. This is what we were born to do.
There are questions. Questions that need answering.
You are a Jedi.
I'm not really a Jedi.
Then be a pirate Jedi.
Still a bounty hunter, I see.
Tell me you don't miss it.
Ezra, your parents, they escaped.
The Empire put a bounty on you.
You gonna try to collect?
What if you forget whose side you're on?
I would never be on their side.
I'm Clan Ren, House Vizsla. I seek justice through single combat.
How do we fight him?
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
The apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives.
Skywalker's apprentice could lead us to other lost Jedi.
Your speculation and discussion of all things Star Wars Rebels.
Unexpected, but not unwelcome.
Join the rebellion. Stay rebellious, my friends.
Alright, gang, and welcome to this episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, your Fandom on Wicked Radio's spin-off Star Wars Rebels podcast. I am your host, David Sinden, the man behind all of this. And with me, guys, you know what? We will have everyone this season. You know, it's a matter of logistics, getting the right people. If you want to go, making sure Chopper doesn't, check ID at the door prematurely. You know how he is. But with me today to discuss holocrons and fakes, your friend and mine, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
Pretty good. A little stormy night here in old Dagobah, Florida, but it's all good.
Oh, well, hopefully not too stormy. We can get through this episode.
Yeah, we lost power a couple of times, but I think all's good in the Force. I think we'll get through this.
Well, there you go. So, what do you know? Holocrons of Fate.
Well, what?
Can I just start off by saying I had no idea the holocrons were basically the sword in Thundercats gave you sight beyond sight.
Oh, we're going there already?
I had to. You know that. Come on, I think Culture Clutch has done enough revisiting of the 80s and old decades to know this.
Well, what I do think, and, you know, before we get into our full episode discussion, is that Rebels is really doing a lot of shake-up in the mythos of the Force within two episodes already a season.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. I mean, I thought about it after we ended last week, but... just the introduction of Bendu alone adds another layer to this, let's describe the Force like Shrek described an onion. There's layers.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, and for them to go quite drastically with what they're doing with the Force, considering we still have two more movies in the new trilogy plus Star Wars stories, They're letting rebels dictate what.
Plus 10, 11, 12. Because let's be honest, you know that's gonna happen.
But they are really letting rebels dictate some major changes to the canon. I think it's great in that aspect that they're letting rebels kind of set a path here for a lot of things. I think the ramifications are going to be felt for a while in the films, comics, and the TV projects that come out.
Yeah. I want to see a Bendu in the movies. I want to see it voiced by Tom Baker.
Babe, absolutely. So, shall we dive into this week's episode, Mr. Senden?
Absolutely. Kyle, if you please take us through beat for beat, and then we will discuss.
So, we open up with Kanan and Ezra on a transport heading to a rendezvous. And we're still seeing, even though they've kind of supposedly got on the same page somewhat at the end of our first episode of this season, they're still having some issues because Ezra really still wants to know where that holocron's gone to.
Right, he's got the itch, like any good ruggie trying to give up his habit. He can't do it.
So that's leading to a little confrontation between Kanan and Ezra. In the meantime, as we arrive to our rendezvous point with another transport, we get there. Let's just say somebody's worked over this transport pretty well.
Yeah. He's... The transport looks like it's been put through the run by the devil. It's kind of devilish to it. And speaking devilish, look, we get...
We'll get to that in just a second, because I think...
All right. You ruined my beat here.
I know, but you were getting ready to skip over, I think, what was kind of a key part in the beginning of the story, because it's something that starts coming through greater as this episode goes on. And that's when they go onto the transport. Ezra's looking with his eyes, but you see Kanan looking with his senses... And he hears the droid, the astromech, and then they find a survivor left behind by everybody's favorite lightsaber welder, Mr. Darth Maul.
Or just Maul.
At this point, just Maul, but...
Makes you wonder, what's his original first name, Mini?
Who knows?
Oh, Mini Maul. Yes, I can hear the groans on the other end of the podcast. People,
what, stop.
I think that's the Maul for Darkest Shit.
What, no strip Maul?
Yeah, that's the Star Wars Dark Edition. We're gonna go there.
I apologize to our family show. I apologize to our listeners for these bad puns.
Yeah. I apologize to you since I started most. I came up with the Thrawn Peeling Blue one last week, so I apologize.
Yeah, it's about one more and you were struck out, David, and I gotta take over hosting duties after that.
I don't know. I'm gonna be out for Hogan's Heroes. I'm relying on you, Raider Nerd, and Clifton.
We'll get you taken care of, but so we get back to the episode though, so we look for the survivor that the whereabouts of the ghost have covered by Maul, which leads to, of course, Ezra and Kanan reaching out quickly. And Hera, you first think everything's fine until you realize Maul is in the picture. That's really when Kanan and Ezra find out exactly who it was that attacked this ship.
Yep.
And let's just say Maul has taken over the ghost, and he wants the holocron, but he wants more than just the Sith holocron. He wants Kanan's Jedi holocron.
Oh, yeah.
So... Maul is up to something, and we're going to find out what it is, because this leads to Ezra and Kanan having a very serious discussion about the location of the Sith holocron, and Kanan's like, well, it's safe. And Kanan's like, that's the problem. It might be too safe. Which, of course, leads back to maybe one of the most interesting Star Wars characters we've had in a very long time, David.
Yes.
That's the Bendu.
Our big, friendly, rock-nadian moose.
So
can I just say, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't help, no upfront or Canadian friends, but I can't help but see a little bit of a, not just the never-ending story of Rockmonster, like I said, but a little Canadian moose in Bendu.
Oh, quit drinking so much strange brew, David.
Strange brew, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, I can't help it, I'm sorry.
So, of course, this is Ezra's first meeting with the Bendu, and there was a quick little take in here that I liked where Ezra brings the thumper, which I found that a nice little shout out to Dune.
Yeah, plus also a nice little nod to it being taken from Kanan last week.
Yeah, and so what we see,
as Bendu has no patience for these
things. Yeah, because that was a great little shot of while they're walking over their back, turning, you actually see Bendu's hand come in and destroy the thumper.
Yeah. I was expecting like Ben Hill music for a minute.
So we see, you know, the spiders start coming down, and Ezra, Kanan acting as he did the week before, understanding things, while Ezra goes towards the lightsaber. And then
Not understanding.
And then the Bendu makes his grand appearance, kind of blowing Ezra's mind, which I gotta say, my mind would be blown too if that was my first encounter with the Bendu.
Yeah.
So, While all this is going on, we go back to the Ghost as Maul has basically captured everyone on board. And David, I gotta say, those might be the some more bizarre looking droids I've ever seen in the Star Wars universe.
Well, they look a little, I agree, on the most bizarre and the most plain and bland and pedestrian. But they looked a little bit like, what was the, in the, going back to the Clone Wars, the Mandalorian arc where Darth Maul took over the planet with his brother?
Yeah.
Right? Were the, what's the one droid that, you know, basically during the invasion, greeting everyone and then got blasted away in the face?
Oh, yeah, I can't picture it off the top of my head, but I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I believe Dave voiced it.
Yeah. So, well, I gotta throw this out to you. There's a nice little throwback to that time frame and remembrance of when he's talking to Sabine, and Sabine talks about the time that he was ruling Mandalore for a while.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta say something about it. And this is where people may or may not like me, but I just feel like they're trying a little too hard to make even two episodes, and I prayed to the powers to be. I originally said Dave Filoni, but we'll pray to Justin Ridge. But I pray that some way, somehow, something happens where, you know, Sabine is instantly likable like everybody else.
I'm just not feeling it at this point. I'm liking the little drops they've done so far, and I can definitely feel, it felt like there was a little bit more maturity to Sabine in the first episode.
Yes, like I said last week, I do like and very much supported the changing, I believe I said the color tone on her armor seemed a little lighter.
Yeah, well, yeah, it wasn't quite so poppy, shall we say.
That wasn't quite so bubblegum factory poppy.
So, I did think that was a nice little remembrance from that point in Clone Wars. But what I like it is was. The fact that he gets Hera to basically give him a tour of the Ghost. And yep. Then you got a little couple pods out there when they hit Zeb's room, and he's like, "What is that smell?" And then they hit.
And I do like that Maul basically vents my frustration with Sabine from the first two seasons, or the first season especially. And he's like, "How colorful."
Yeah. But then they find Kanan's room, which Maul realizes right away from the. Maul finds the holocron. But what I found interesting was the fact that Maul was referring to Kanan by his actual name.
Caleb Dune, yeah.
So I nice little nod to the comic series there.
Oh, very. I mean, and that's what I think. You know, let me just push on that for a second, Kyle, if I may, and add, I really think that any connections to these other mediums are going to be, you know, very much like that, or very much like what we're seeing with Forrest Whitaker's character in Rogue One being Saw Gerrera. Very small in point of fact, or just, you know, characters that fit the story. I don't think it's going to be any more connections bigger than that.
Well,
I really don't.
I agree with you, because we're also talking about time, about spanning over time frames here, too. So.
Well, no, I agree, but I was just adding that as to compare that statement to everything that they're working on.
Oh, right. Yeah. I agree. So, of course, Maul finds Kanan's holocron, which then takes us back to Ezra and Kanan with the Bendu, and yeah. The Bendu talking about the imbalance between master and apprentice.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, the Bendu being the Bendu sends them on a mission to go recover the Sith holocron.
Well, so I had no idea, as Bendu was explaining these things,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea that the holocrons were essentially, like I said earlier, the sight beyond sight Thundercats.
Well, I think the aspect of, you know, again, we're getting into where the Bendu is just opening doors left and right within Force mythos, and they get this from the holocrons, I think is very interesting, and I think it's going to be something that's going to be played upon again later before the season is out. And not just because of the results of what happened with holocrons later in this episode.
Right. Let me ask you something. Do you think there could be several of them? Several Bendus?
I'm curious. I think we're going to get an answer to that before the season is out.
Or here's a notion for you, because Bendu does give a sense of past history.
Yeah.
What if at a time or with several of them, like that scene with you know, Tree Gray and the trees in Lord of the Rings Two Towers?
Yeah.
There are ones with the timber. There are several of them, but like Tree Gray, Bendu is the last.
Yeah, that could very well be. I could see that very easily. So.
And he's just lived on this planet with these spiders.
Yeah. Oh no, I think at some point before the season, we're going to get more of an origin on the Bendu. So
yeah,
but so Ezra and Kanan go into this cave to search for the Sith Holocron. And what I like real interesting right now is we're starting to get into why Ezra's been acting so late, because of his feeling responsible for Kanan's blindness.
He blames himself.
Yeah, he blames himself from all and all of it, which I find interesting.
Which explains and justifies his first action in last week's episode was complete and utter genocide.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but what I really like seeing in this is seeing the new attitude change in Kanan as well. And that, and at this point, basically helping Ezra open his mind to it.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're starting to get back to that apprentice-master situation, and I think this is where, to me, more than anything, is a sign that they're taking a different path than what a lot of people were thinking was, oh, are we going an Anakin-Obi-Wan path with these two?
Well, and clearly we're not.
Yeah, no, obviously we're not now, and I think that's definitely a smart move as far as the storytelling goes.
Right. I do think at some point, Ezra may be tempted, because, quite honestly, I don't see any of these characters getting out of this alive.
I can see one or two, but yeah, this is, again, this boils down to, it's going to be very curious when the time comes what happens with the Rebels.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me just ask you, and we'll have a show later on this season, again, speculating this very idea, but let me ask you right up front, Kyle, what one or two do you think? Because I don't think any of them. I think they're all going to be on Alderaan on summer vacation.
I could honestly see Hera surviving.
Oh, Hera?
I can honestly actually see Zeb or Sabine surviving.
Okay, I'll give you just Zeb.
But, yeah. Well, Kanan is, of all the characters, I think Kanan is likely to have something really bad happen before this series is over.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you go back to the season 3 trailer, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that green eye thing. It looks like, something bad may happen to Kanan this season.
Well, I think there's some already opening up to that, with the possibilities of what that could be in this episode, so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Moving on, as we get back into the episode here, we get to a point where Ezra had gone into the cave alone and Kanan had taken his lightsaber. It gets to a point where Ezra basically blows off Kanan's directions because he thinks he knows better at this point because...
Yeah, typical teenager. Yeah.
So Kanan goes after him, rescues Ezra. It's kind of eye-opening for Ezra through this moment as they find the Sith Holocron and do recover it. And as they come out, the Bendu even makes the comment of balance being restored.
Yeah.
So, now, David, I don't know about you, but there is one thing that they do need to change. They need to change that mask on Kanan, because it drives me insane.
Well, what they need to go back to, they don't necessarily need to change it. Because I don't want to see Kanan with some, Kylo Ren-esque one step away from a Cylon for Battlestar Galactica mask.
Right? Uh-huh.
What they need to go back to is that Jedi Temple Guard mask they had on Malachor.
Yeah, that was very cool. Even something that was a minor alteration to that or something like that.
Yeah. Well, don't even... And I think minor alterations are like, oh god, no, do not let Sabine paint that thing. Kanan will hate her for it.
I wasn't going that drastic.
Thank god.
So, but, what I will say is that I really like the fact that this episode really made you feel more like we're back to Kanan and Ezra on the same team working together. Even though they still played the fact, and as we move forward with the episode, they recover the Sith Holocron and they go after Maul, obviously. I love the fact when they do hit the point where Maul wants to meet him, Maul is calling Ezra his apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
I really think
before Maul is actually granted death, because he's kind of been cheated death many, many times, I kind of do think that Maul wants a legacy behind him.
I know, I can see that, but I have some thoughts on Maul as well here, too. So we'll touch on those in a few minutes. So what I love is that, Maul sends Ezra off kind of by himself, which he uses to bait Kanan and basically launch Kanan out the airlock.
And can I just say, this is where I love the animation, because they actually have the kind of little, exposed to the vacuum of space effect going on Kanan.
Yeah, I love the fact even once he got in tank, you could still hear the sounds of the ice cracking and stuff like that.
Yeah, as it started to dissipate.
So that was a job very well done by creative team this week, as far as that goes.
Oh, absolutely, totally.
So, and then I love the little trick they at least attempted to try to use to escape on the Ghost too before Kanan. Well, and Ezra in that situation with using the magnetic activation in the hangar of the Ghost.
Oh, yes, I love that they nodded to Maul's paranoid history.
Yeah, that was very well done. So, we get back to where we have Maul and Ezra and the joining of Holocrons.
Yes, and this is where I kept hearing. Is it wrong? I'm going back to this, but is it wrong that I kept hearing Lionel?
A little. At this point, yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, come on. I kept hearing Lionel. Give me sight beyond sight.
But what I think the development out of this more than anything, there's probably, obviously, there's three developments. There's what Ezra sees, what Maul sees. But the aspect of the fact that Kanan, everybody else is blinded by this light, but Kanan actually see kind of the shadow forms of everybody.
That is an animation high, not just this episode, but I will say the entire series up to this point. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, that was very well done. So.
And it was supposed to show you how goofy Maul is, just pure lighting.
Yeah, true. But then we see Maul talking several things and not being able to see everything he wants to see. And then we get the part of the episode that basically like everybody now has their speculation on, and that's Kane is talking about seeing twin sons.
No, Ezra was
Ezra. Ezra talking about twin sons.
Now, this is where I'm going to say I don't think it's what people think.
Well, I think everybody jumping to the tween, oh, he's seeing Luke and all of that. I think that's too easy.
They are obviously jumping to the tween. Kind of what I'm getting at is think a little deeper here. But if, Leia has a force, know that, but what set the suffering as far as the original trilogy goes. What if the twin sons is actually twin S-O-N-S sons, and, it's that Anakin and Luke connection, yes, they're father and son, but essentially, they're twin sons of the Force.
That could be there. Knowing the way the Marvel writers have been, I think twin sons on Tatooine is just too obvious.
Exactly, and I think it's more what I was talking about, because right now, what everybody theorizes online is that it's going to essentially be the equivalent of, I believe it's in, I know Star Wars variant comic, but it's Cyborg Maul hunting Obi-Wan down on Tatooine.
Yeah.
And one, I hope it's not that, because I was personally not a fan of that particular issue. And two is, I'm sorry, Maul deserves to go out in a blaze of glory. I do not want Rebels to pull a punk move and have Owen shoot Maul in the back.
Well, here, and we're gonna get to this in a minute because there's the other item to speculate about, but we'll get to that in a minute. As Kanan kind of is able to pull Ezra back from the edge of this and what the ramifications could be towards Ezra if he continue to see this vision.
Yeah,
which leads to basically the destruction of the two holocrons.
Pretty much. Well, they weren't destroyed, were they? They were deactivated?
Basically, yeah, deactivated.
Because once the light dissipated, they were still there intact.
Yeah. So, but, what I find very interesting is then we get to a point where, they're looking for Maul, and Maul has escaped. And you then go to Maul, and he's like, he's alive. So, there are so many people Maul could be referring to in this.
Yeah, the easiest is Obi-Wan, when you think about it, my guess is Vader, and here's why. Did you read, I don't know if you saw this, but Vader was originally going to kill Maul at the end of Season 2.
Yeah, I had heard that rumor.
And it would actually make sense that Maul would want to go after basically the one man that was supposed to be what Maul was going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a possibility. Obi-Wan is probably the more obvious choice.
He's the more obvious, but when you think about it, you know, you gotta think in obvious, like you do with Edward's twin son's remark.
Well, I'm gonna go for one a little out of the box,
even. Okay, shoot, go ahead.
Could he be talking about Savage?
Savage, really?
Yeah. I mean, look what Maul survived.
Okay, someone get Clancy Brown on the phone.
Yeah, but where's Clancy these days?
Yeah, where's the Kraken these days? I think he's on the Flash. Oh wait, his character was killed. He's not on the Flash anymore.
So I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there. Not a really out of the box possibility, but I think another possibility that would have them all reacting that way.
Yeah, I didn't think about that one, but when you think about it, I don't know if Justin Ridge is quite the Pittsburgh Steelers guy that Filoni was. So I don't know, something about him just doesn't say Pittsburgh Steelers as long, you know, to the extent Filoni is.
Yeah, well, you know. So we get to the final moments of this episode, and we hear Ezra refer to Kanan and Master again. We hadn't heard actually for a while. So
yeah.
So we had the episode where it looks like maybe, you know, things have kind of fallen back into order with Ezra and Kanan. They've both grown from these experiences, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, I look at it this way. Maul is still out there. We're going to see him again before this season is out.
Oh, absolutely. My guess, though, is the next episode, we'll probably end up seeing more of Thrawn. It'll probably go like a backwards and forwards. You'll get some weeks you'll get black and red, and the other weeks you'll get blue.
Exactly. I think we get a lot more Thrawn than we do Maul, but we're not.
Yeah, because Maul, I mean, I'm one thing I love that Clone Wars did and Rebels is continuing to do is make Maul a character.
Yeah. Oh, I think Maul is right now one of the most complex and most interesting characters going in the Star Wars universe.
And you know he's gonna die because Maul can't have a social life.
Yeah.
You think a guy like that can just go parading around Coruscant and be like, woohoo!
Yeah,
maybe on Mardi Gras.
But I think this what's been so great about this is Dave and the group at Rebels has and even with Clone Wars has taken one of the characters that everybody loved just by a look and has made him so much more complex and an interesting character. I'm just so glad to see that.
Oh, totally agree with you on that one. So, alright, so now, this portion of the show, we will go into, courtesy of StarWars.com, the latest Rebels recon on Holocron's fate. And then Kyle and I will go into final thoughts and our sight beyond sight as we, you know, close the show with some healthy Rebels speculation. So without further ado, Rebels recon.
What's up, Rebels fans? Andy from StarWars.com coming to you live to tape from the Lucasfilm headquarters. This week on Rebels, we saw exactly why Maul is still a force to be reckoned with, the dangers of mixing Jedi and Sith holocrons, and more of those awful, disgusting spiders. So sit back and don't look straight into the light. Rebels Recon starts right now. With the crew taken hostage by Maul, Kanan and Ezra agree to give him the holocrons in exchange for their friends.
I shall be in touch with coordinates for a rendezvous.
Seeking the Sith holocron, Ezra and Kanan contact Bendu, who warns of the danger in combining the holocrons.
Once a secret is known, it cannot be unknown.
But after Kanan manages to free the rebels, Ezra helps Maul combine the holocrons, revealing potentially dangerous secrets.
I see him.
Twin sons.
This week we saw the return of Darth Maul, as well as a look at how the events of Season 2 changed the relationship between Kanan and Ezra. I sat down with cast and crew to talk about these changes our Jedi are experiencing and how Maul will play into their future. Watch. There's a lot of discussion going on about the balance in Ezra and Kanan's relationship being off. What was the state of their relationship going into this episode, and how has it changed after?
We're still going to be dealing with the fallout from the Season 2 finale for a while. It's not something you could easily forget. And even though we advanced the timeline like by upwards of 6 months when we started Season 3, so much happened at the end of Season 2 that that's going to take a while to settle.
Ezra feels responsible for what happened to his master. And early in the episode, if you notice, Ezra's trying to be protective of him because he already blinded his master in his opinion. So once they get down, in the tunnels together in this dark place, Ezra is surprised that Kanan came down there, and he realizes, oh, he's not hurt. He's not as damaged as he thought he was.
They both have to admit to their own faults and forgive. And forgiving is such a difficult thing for people. I don't know why. Admitting you're wrong is such a difficult thing. Because when you don't, and fear takes you, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And we see this on a daily basis right now.
How can Ezra help Kanan get back some of what he lost?
He can continue to grow and listen and show respect for Kanan and enable him by showing him, like, look, even though you can't see, I will burden more of the responsibility. And he does. So through season three, we see Ezra grow so much because now he is kind of the de facto leader of the group on missions.
We've seen other characters get tempted by the dark side many times. How does Ezra handle this differently?
Ezra has a very strong family support system going for him. So even though he can be tempted by the power and wanting to use it to protect his family, he's got loving people around him who care about him.
I've always felt that one of Anakin's downfalls, like, it's never that Anakin was innately going to be evil, but the people around him, the Jedi, in their lack of compassion, in being so selfless that they almost forgot to care.
Beyond temptation, I think he's also figuring out an angle. That's risky because you can't really game the dark side, but at the same time, I think that gives him a sense of alertness. At least he has the ability to see through Maul's attempts of temptation. Like, he knows to the degree that he can't trust Maul, but what he does with that, I mean, that's what makes him Ezra.
Darth Maul is back. How does Kanan handle him differently this time?
There's a lot of anger there on Kanan's part, obviously. There is no way that trust is on the table. If Maul is a part of that equation, Kanan would want to be the closest one to him. He is not going to let him out of his force-like sight.
When we last saw Maul, he had been trapped on Malachor for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Now that he's escaped, what do you think is on his agenda?
His victory last season was that he got off the planets, the key to everything for him. So now he is spinning his little web and starting to make his connections.
He's got a game plan, and he's got stuff that he just can't let go of. He has lots of secrets buried in strategic places, and he's going to start uncovering some of those things as he gets to his ultimate end goal.
Maul, I think, is still convinced that he can turn Ezra to be his apprentice. As long as he can dangle the carrot of, I can help you destroy the Sith, there's a chance he can get Ezra to fight alongside of him. Maul talks about what he's wanting, and he's wanting hope. What does that mean to someone like Maul?
He's not interested about living forever. I think he's been denied death one too many times, and he realizes that's got limited appeal, so he needs someone else to embody that legacy.
Maul actually isn't trying to be a Sith. He's trying to be something else, something that he's creating, and many people have tried that over the years, and it hasn't worked out, so we'll see how it works out for him.
Oh, hey, Chopper. Aw, present from the UK? What is that smell? Why does it feel like it's leaking? What is this? Chopper! Really? An English breakfast? Oh my god. How long has it been in there? It's been quite a while since I've ambushed the Lucasfilm Story Group's Pablo Hidalgo to ask him your Burning Rebels questions. Too long, if you ask me. Let's change that, shall we? Hey, Pablo. What you reading?
It's just research, Andy.
I got two questions for you.
Okay.
All right, cool. At Jonathan Eilbeck asks, does Thrawn outrank Tarkin like in the old EU? And what is the chain of command for the Empire?
Well, the chain of command is probably too much to get into for a segment like this, but specifically, Tarkin is a Grand Moff, and that's a political rank, not a military rank. Mm-hmm. It means that he's the regional governor of the Outer Rim territories, whereas Thrawn, Grand Admiral, is a military rank, and that represents how much of the fleet or how much of his fleet he commands.
Thanks for clearing that up. Mm-hmm. And our next question comes from 777, and he asks, why couldn't the Rebels jump straight to the Yarma system? Why did they need to first go to the waypoint?
The Yarma system is an occluded area of space, meaning you can't make a direct jump there. You have to stop somewhere, recalculate, then jump. And that place where you stop is a waypoint that's owned by the Mining Guild. They will transmit you reliable coordinates in exchange for basically a toll fee.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Pablo, and good luck with your research.
Thank you.
Have more questions about Holocrons of Fate or any other Rebels questions that are keeping you up at night? Tweet them to @StarWars using the hashtag RebelsRecon, and we'll answer what we can online. Now, I hope you're sitting down, because I have an exclusive first look at our next episode, The Antilles Extraction. Enjoy.
They're too fast. I can't get a shot. This thing's all over my scope.
Transport to Imperial fighters. Stand down. We are unarmed. You have no right to fire on us.
I beg to differ.
Thanks for watching Rebels Recon. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. In the meantime, check out our episode guide for Holocrons of Fate on StarWars.com this Monday, or if you're feeling like more Rebels goodness, check out The Star Wars Show, another show I host on this channel, where this week we are sitting down with Zeb himself, Steve Bloom, to learn more about what makes our favorite Lasat tick. I'll see you next week.
I'll put it in later, naturally.
Yep. Yep. So, we hear the Rebels recon, David.
Yeah.
What are some of your thoughts kind of coming out of what they had to say?
Well, my thoughts on the Rebels recon, I like what I think, Gilroy had this to say, or was it Gilroy or Mojin?
I think it was Gilroy.
Yeah, I like what, I think it was Mojin, but anyway. I like what Melchin had to say, which is there are going to be consequences from season... Oh, no, wait. Yeah, it was Melchin. Never mind. Let's try that again, Kyle.
Okay. So, David, what were your thoughts coming out of this week's Rebel Recon?
Well, Kyle, I do like the fact that Stephen Melchin did basically say, and Filoni backed this up, Season 2 was such a big ending that we're going to be dealing with the consequences of it for quite a while. And I love that because Star Wars is always better when you do that. Case in point, my biggest hope for Episode 8, if I can go there for a minute,
yep,
is that, there's some consequences or larger picture with, spoiler alert, the death of Han Solo.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. That episode, there's so many questions, still unanswered questions from that episode. So, I think until Rebels is done, we're going to be feeling the consequences of last episode. But I also like the aspect of the fact that they're still moving forward with the story and adding to it as they're going.
Oh, absolutely. And also, it's kind of, I don't want to use the word course correct because that can have negative connotations to it, right? But it also sort of fixes a little bit of what Clone Wars didn't do, because I just didn't feel the consequences from week to week as I do with this.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's one of those things to where it's, I guess, what direction they're going to take it.
Absolutely.
So...
So, Kyle, before we wrap up completely, what were your earlier thoughts? You said in the program you had thoughts on Maul.
Well,
do you care to share those?
But basically, my thoughts on Maul is that, like I said, we're not done with him by a long shot. And, I mean, we speculated that, who he was after, who was still alive. And I think that's even a more open-ended box of who that could be than compared to what we had going with Ezra's sight vision. So I think there's a lot to do with Maul before the season's out.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm excited in the direction. There's a lot, like I said, they're messing with the mythos of the Force so much in this show. I think it's a great thing, and I can't wait to see what the final outcome is that's in the full effect it's going to have on the Star Wars universe.
Oh, me too. We can both agree there. Well, my friend, that'll end this episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. Kyle, as always, thank you for joining me this evening.
Yep, absolutely. A pleasure, as always, sir.
And we will be back next time talking about the Antilles extraction. And you never know. Kyle and I will always be here. We're ghost crew fixtures. But, depending on logistics and all those other non-podcasty stuff, we may have coming.
Hey, I nothing else. I promise you there will be a wedge.
Oh. What? Now who has the bad puns?
Oh, I could have went full on Wedgie, but you know.
Oh, okay, guys, that's it. Before Kyle and I get all punny, we'll just say, remember again, stay rebellious.
Always.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
And Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Gotcha!
Mission accomplished.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels in the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
All rights reserved.
Fighter coming in at Mark 3.
We've lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight. We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Fear. The anger. The hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since...
The Clone Wars.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers is a friend of mine.
Everyone, hang on!
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Good news, we are off on
this
an
podcast
adventure.
Is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Rex, keep those ties off our back!
Working on it!
Surrender. I hope you brought a better class of soldier than the stormtroopers.
They'll all be coming now.
This podcast, Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, is meant for information and entertainment purposes only.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.